So, as yesterday, subject to the law, we require that our witnesses be sworn in. So, I'm going to ask our Assistant General Counsel to swear each of you.
Thank you. Could you please raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give at this hearing will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? If your testimony today, you can put your hands down, thanks. If your testimony today is limited for any reason, or if there are any restrictions placed on the capacity in which you testify here today, or if you have any conflicts of interest, could you please identify yourself by raising your hand now? Great, thank you.
Thank you. All right, so we've asked our panel of experts and people who are very important in our system to focus on evaluating market structure and particularly its impact on cost, quality, and access. I would ask each of you to keep your prepared remarks to 3 minutes. We will have then time for back and forth questions. I hope I don't need to ask our attorney, general counsel to stop you. But so I'm hoping that we'll stay within the 3 minutes. Rather than going through and asking each of you to introduce yourself, when you make your presentation, introduce yourself and what organization you represent. And we will start with you on the left, Dr. Kovacs. And please speak into the microphone. We've had some problems with these mics, so go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Great. So my name is Deb Kovacs, and I'm a primary care physician and medical director at Acton Medical Associates. We are an independent primary care group in Acton, and we have 24 primary care physicians. We're also an NCQA patient-centered medical home. And I think our experience of surviving in this climate of mergers of groups can be instructive in moving forward to a system of value-based, high-quality, and cost-effective care. In our practice, we've been managing global value-based payments and risk for over 30 years. And we're familiar with providing excellent care to patients while paying attention to the differences in cost between institutions. We consider several factors when forming relationships with other entities, and most importantly, high quality, low to moderate cost, and geographic proximity for our patients. Transparency regarding cost and quality would be tremendously helpful for us in knowing where to direct our patients and with whom we should form relationships and affiliations. We do recognize that the cost of healthcare is just simply too high and should not grow at its current rate. However, innovative methods of care coordination, such as the patient-centered medical home, care planning, patient health portals, and population management, do cost money in startup and maintenance and should not necessarily be considered when requiring a 3.6% or lower growth benchmark, although we've been able to stay within that. We have an extensive system for managing the care of all of our patients, which has costs in terms of IT infrastructure and clinical staff. These costs, to be frank, are supported by the more lucrative insurance company relationships that we have, subsidizing the exact same care management for patients with lower paying insurance plans. We need to be careful in squeezing reimbursement to primary care, as it could mean dismantling this important infrastructure. Primary care is a scarce resource in Massachusetts, and barriers to access should be eliminated, such as assigning tiers for primary care physicians, which we just heard about, and also cutting reimbursement for primary care through risk contracts without recognizing the cost of managing risk. In order for costs to stay in control, we feel that community hospitals must continue to charge reasonable rates even after mergers with higher cost institutions occur. Insurers, providers, and hospital networks need to anticipate these changes and work to keep community hospital-based care affordable for patients and businesses, as we see those costs in our risk patients. In conclusion, we're watching with great interest the mergers and affiliations occurring around us, and we feel that our experience at Acton Medical in managing the cost of care over many years has given us the experience needed to be successful moving forward. And we appreciate the efforts the Commonwealth is putting forth in value-based care and hope that our input provides helpful in forming a system that's fair to patients and providers through recognition of infrastructure costs, the importance of a primary care physician for as many patients as possible, transparency, and protecting the community from higher costs associated with mergers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dr. Severin.
Hello, my name is Christina Severin, and I'm president and CEO of the Beth Israel Deaconess Care Organization, or BIDCO. I want to thank the Health Policy Commission for giving me the opportunity to be here with my colleagues and discuss some of the exciting work we're doing at BIDCO, as well as some of our challenges. BIDCO was formed in December of 2012 as an accountable care organization. The structure of BIDCO is unique in design. It is neither a physician organization nor a hospital organization. BIDCO is an ACO that is jointly governed by physicians and hospitals. BIDCO is the only ACO in our state where participating providers can be multi-specialty physician groups, community health centers, or solo practitioners, and participating hospitals can be large academic tertiary hospitals or independent community-based hospitals. BIDCO's success will be determined by our providers' continued desire to practice medicine and deliver healthcare in an environment that supports good quality, innovation, and putting patient care first. Our structure balances the needs of primary and specialty care providers, as well as the needs of tertiary hospitals and community hospitals. All members of our organization have a role in our governance structure and a voice that is heard. This new model also allows our providers to participate in an innovative BIDCO internal risk-sharing model that aligns incentives to manage costs in areas that providers can best control. For instance, PCPs are in the best position to determine appropriate changes for improving workflows in the primary care setting and for managing and maintaining the general well-being of large populations served by practices. Our hospitals are best positioned to work on items such as eliminating hospital-acquired infections and to focus on transitions of care from hospital settings back into community-based settings. BIDCO's organizational structure and financial incentives had created an environment where our hospitals recognize the overarching need to focus on efficient primary care. For example, this means we're focusing on such things like EMR support, so that PCPs are meeting meaningful use criteria and improving care, more electronic tools for quality management and improvement in the primary care setting, resources for high-risk care management, and PCP patient flow optimization. One of our more significant challenges is in the price disparities among peer institutions in our Commonwealth. Despite the positive accomplishments achieved in Chapter 224, we have not addressed longstanding disparity in pricing that has allowed the largest health system in the Commonwealth to accumulate resources that continue to give them a significant competitive advantage over all other systems in the Commonwealth. While some health plans have put forth contract terms that slow the ever-widening gap between providers, none have addressed the 20 to 40% gap itself. A second challenge for BIDCO is the decreasing percent of patients under risk arrangements. As our experience has shown, our health insurers are most likely to create risk arrangements for HMO patients who are covered under fully insured arrangements. However, HMO-insured patients are rapidly moving into self-insured and PPO products. We're pleased that some health insurers have taken note of the movement of employers to PPO and self-insured products and are taking action to move toward risk arrangements in these situations, and we applaud these efforts. At BIDCO, we're encouraged by our results. For example, we're one of the top-performing Pioneer ACOs in the country and the top performer in the Commonwealth, and we have strong physician and hospital partnerships that are yielding positive results and costs and quality. Once again, thank you for the opportunity to participate in this hearing.
Very much appreciate it. Eric?
Good afternoon. I'm Eric Schultz, President and CEO of Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare, and on behalf of all my fellow colleagues back in the office, I'm very proud to be here and to meet with you all today. Also, as I drove in today, Professor Altman, on this beautiful UMass campus, I couldn't help but to feel a pressure to ask you if we could take this course outside onto the front lawn. The old days. The professors would never agree to it, but it never hurts to ask. I am very pleased to be here with a great group of healthcare colleagues and leaders. There's one thing that's clear over especially the last couple of years is that we have come together as a system of healthcare leaders to truly try to find ways to make this system, especially in Massachusetts, work better, produce better outcomes at a greater value. But we've got a lot of work ahead. I especially want to thank Aaron Barros and his team at the center and the Attorney General for their incredible reporting they've done over the years and the analysis, because they have put an independent spotlight on the problem that we face. There's market power issues that's driving costs up. It was a very brave thing to do and continue to do, but it gives us information to make change. I would also say, despite some improvements we're seeing, and I want to thank the providers that we work with as we sit at the table and try to figure out ways to make this work better, market power issues, the dysfunction that's been noted, is still there. It's still under wraps, and if we don't keep the pressure on all of us, it will reemerge. But what we need to do is to use this time that we're in right now to come up with, as Paul Ginsberg said and others, strategies that engages the consumer, that provides them with information to make informed decisions in a very pragmatic way. We can go too far too fast. And we also must work with our provider partners, the care systems, not only on payment models, but in a collaborative way to find better ways of treating populations of patients and subgroups of patients, whether it's by disease, whether it's by specialty area, or something in between. And many of these things are going on. Size does matter. Consolidation is easy to see where it could theoretically make things better for cost and quality and for the patient and for the practicing physicians. But I also want to point out that it's creating disruption out there for the consumers, and I think we all know that. But a couple of points. As physicians, there's been great physician movement from one system to another, and they are offered opportunities in new systems and new economic, and that's great. But with that comes patient disruption. New groups of physicians coming together is no different than departments in our health plan, where teams have to figure out how to work in the sandbox in an effective way. It takes time to make that happen. But there's a lot of consumer and patient disruption going on out there. The electronic medical records, are they coming together, and the data flow? And the other interesting thing, there are a number of innovations out there that are frankly in conflict with global capitation or capitation in ACOs, where a patient may be incentivized to go to a less costly, high-quality outpatient diagnostic for a lower cost, subject to their deductible, that's outside of the system that's being prepaid for that care of that population. So there are some interesting conflicts that we all need to work through. When systems come together, we've seen it time and time again that reimbursement rates go up. Is that what we want? Of course it's not, but that's what market power has created. Or care is shifted from a lower cost service area to a higher cost area. We all have a role to play in this, and certainly as a representative of a health plan, we take it very seriously. We're excited about the future, about what we can bring with regard to network innovations, with regard to information and transparency. We are coming out with a tool called Now I Know this fall that will be benefit-specific, patient-specific, cost and quality information to help that consumer make choices that are more informed, and frankly, to put pressure on the providers that are charging more. This is what we want to do. We want to create a much stronger supply side, rather demand side, on this marketplace than we've ever had before, and to do it in a practical, pragmatic way. Happy to talk about more innovations in care models around episodic payments that we're working on, around specialty homes. But I would close by saying that I'm very bullish working with these colleagues and everyone and moving forward with information and being willing to be innovative, which is risky. I think we have a strong market ahead for us in Massachusetts.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Howard?
Good morning. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here this morning. I'm Howard Grant, the President and Chief Executive Officer at Lahey Health System. I've been in Massachusetts for 3 years. I'm a pediatrician by training. That's the lens that I look at my responsibilities through on a day-to-day basis. A word about Lahey Health came together 18 months ago with the combination of the old Northeast Health System and Lahey. Many of you don't know that Lahey was a physician group for 80 years. And then in 1980 came together, and I'm fond of saying it's a physician group that decided to have a hospital as well. And now with the coming together with Northeast Health System, we also have a large array of post-acute services with Leahy Senior Health. And probably most important for us right now is a huge behavioral health component that includes 30 different sites, 1,800 employees, and a firm commitment to provide the full array of behavioral health services across our system going forward. Your commission's focus seems to be primarily cost reduction right now, and we share your concern and your focus about that, but I would suggest to you that paying attention primarily to cost is tinkering at the margins. True cost reform, and we're not there yet, and true savings to consumer only comes by changing the way consumers buy care, how we deliver the care, and where we deliver the care. True cost reform will come when we assure that consumers have access to, use, and make care decisions, real-time, reliable information available to them. We're not there yet. Cost reform will come when we complete the transition from fee-based reimbursement for the episodic treatment of illness to global reimbursement for the achievement of health. We're not there yet. When we move the vast majority of hospital care back into our high quality, and I emphasize that, remarkably high quality community hospitals in Massachusetts and out of higher cost medical centers that should only be treating most complex patients, we're not there yet. When we have replaced our currently fragmented system with several high quality, financially strong, geographically diverse, fully integrated healthcare systems that can effectively compete on price, quality, access, and coverage. We're not there yet. At Leahy, we're trying to make those changes, and they are anything but easy. We are pushing care to the right place, yet in the short term, making those decisions, the one that saves patients money and saves insurance companies money, often and usually has a negative financial impact on the provider. At Leahy Peabody Emergency Department today, we ask every patient if they would like the opportunity to be transferred to Beverly Hospital for a higher level of care, even though historically 100% of those patients went to Leahy in Burlington. Every time I make that transfer, it costs Leahy Health System dollars in the fee-for-service world. My finance people and operations people rail against me, but it's the right thing to do for our organization. It's the right thing to do for the communities that we serve. We're achieving millions in consolidation savings by bringing our organizations together, but those savings are dwarfed by the requirements for investments, for care coordination that we've talked about this morning, and for our electronic health record that we're putting in at a cost of $160 million. But you can't take care of a population of patients unless you've got the tools that are necessary to take care of global payments and manage patients in different settings. We're working to educate our patients to get the care in the right setting, that they can get their care in community hospitals, and I'm pleased to tell you that we've enjoyed great success in the 18 months that we've been together. More patients being cared for at Beverly Hospital and Addison Gilbert Hospital today than at any time in the last 15 years. And finally, we're growing, consolidating, integrating in order to be able to compete on quality and access, and we know that we do so in the face of historically justifiable skepticism on the part of this group and others. They're daunting challenges, but I think 224 will fail without the fragmented market coming together and creating legitimate competition that doesn't exist in Eastern Massachusetts today. It's necessary that we create legitimate competition so that we don't cement in the disparities that exist today and you create opportunities to deliver higher quality at lower cost, which will be challenging. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Howard. Kim?
I'm Kim Holland, the President and CEO of Signature Healthcare in Brockton, Massachusetts. First of all, I'd like to thank the committee for inviting me and for the great array of people you pulled together for an important and very complex issue. And thank you for inviting Signature to participate. Signature's comprised of Brockton Hospital and an employed group of physicians that have 17 specialties and a number of physical locations around a poor service area. We're an integrated system with experience in managing total medical expense for a couple of commercial plans, a Medicare Advantage plan, medical expense.
Speak a little closer to the mic if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. Medicaid plans, that better?
Yes.
An integrated system, we sign contracts as Signature, including our employed doctors and the hospital under one contract. With a large employed group of physicians, our doctors and our hospital economics are reflective of really the system economics, and you can't look at the hospital by itself. We utilize our margin for the hospital to cover the losses we experience providing access to physicians for our community. As you know, our service area is economically challenged, with physicians with a high percentage of Medicaid and Medicare patients are not able to earn local market average salaries without a subsidy from an institution. In fact, the market of local primary care salaries has been inflated by very high commercial rates of pay for groups that cared for a relatively small percentage of Medicaid patients. I believe our area would have much less access to medical care if we were not employing physicians and openly adding underserved patients to our panel. It's equally important for you to understand that we're an independent system, and we're relatively small compared to some of the large systems in the state, and we've been significantly economically challenged over the years. Just 3 years ago, our days cash on hands were in the low 30s, and we hadn't earned an income on operations for 14 years in a row. As a result of low margins for a number of years, we're relatively cash and capital starved, with a lot of internal infrastructure needs. Our service area is very diverse. It's relatively economically compromised relative to other areas, has significant medical needs, and many patients have lower than average health literacy. In spite of our size and in spite of our economic challenges and the challenges of our service area, we've had success in meeting the triple aim. We've improved our efficiency within several of our contracts while increasing our contracted measured quality, and we've just received notice from Press Ganey that we're in the top 10% of physician groups with a percentage improvement in patient experience this year. We've accomplished this by engaging our physician leaders, establishing innovative programs to coordinate care, manage ambulatory quality, and improve the coordination of care. Our size has allowed us to develop programs, test them, and roll them out to a larger population quickly if they prove successful. We've also found that we don't have to own the continuum of care, nor be owned by a larger system, as long as the tertiary and local providers in home health, rehab, and long-term care will work with us to jointly improve care across our continuum. We have frequent meetings with our local providers to discuss high-risk patients, and the other providers have responded by improving their quality, clinical capability, and coordination. We don't, however, manage all of our hospital patients or our local population. We have many patients that we care for who are insured with contracts that are not based on shared risk, and therefore we don't receive the same information on those patients that we do from the insurer of our other patients. Additionally, at the hospital, we care for a large percentage of patients who use our hospital who have PCPs that are employed by others. Therefore, we don't manage their care when they're not in the hospital, which, of course, is the majority of the time. Last, I would like to say our success has required us to invest heavily in our system over the last few years. We've invested in physician access, physician leadership, care management, information technology, lean management, and new programs, which have increased our internal cost, but helped us reduce the total medical expense for the portion of the population we manage. Thanks for inviting me, and I look forward to participating in the discussion.
Thank you very much, Dr. Delatorre.
Thank you, commissioners. Thank you for inviting me. So, as many of you know, Steward is an example of how the private sector has risen to meet the challenges posed by access expansion and its concomitant cost challenges. A little bit about Steward. Steward is a healthcare system that's not even 3 years in its existence. It is a community-based, accountable care organization serving more than 1 million patients annually that are mostly middle-class and low-income families. Steward was created to meet the needs of healthcare reform as individual pieces. We were not a large system that changed itself, that had worked together. We are a combination of individual hospitals, individual physicians, new governance, new structures, new bylaws,